everybody. Welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode number 11 of The Lowdown. Today is Friday, October 29th, 2010. It is a crisp, cold evening in Virginia. I don't know how it is in Cali, but I'm about to find out because my boy Bobby Rogue is here. As always, Bobby, what is going on?
What's up, Carlos? It's a little rainy here in San Francisco, California, but let me be the first to say to our thousands and thousands of thousands of internet fans, happy Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween weekend. We just were carving pumpkins with the kids tonight, getting all messy and eating some roasted pumpkin seeds and having a really good time doing that. So this was the first time I was able to actually carve a pumpkin with my daughter because she's old enough now to actually care about it. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Did you guys carve a pumpkin with the San Francisco Giants logo?
That would be a big negative there, Ghost Rider, because we are not Giants fans in this house. Actually, my wife is, but I'm definitely not.
Well, that's really strange because the Giants are in the World Series and they're about to win.
We'll see, man. It's only two games up, so we'll see. We'll see if they pull it off.
Go, Gigantes!
So we're going to talk a little bit about Caprica. So we have been planning the show for a couple of weeks, getting all up to speed, all caught up with Caprica. We're thinking that the season was pretty good. And then Sci-Fi did it to us. They canceled the show. Bobby, talk to me about the Caprica show cancellation.
I want to touch first a little bit upon Caprica's tagline. When Sci-Fi, spelled S-Y-F-Y, was promoting the show, and that tagline was, "The future of humanity begins with a choice." And obviously those assholes over at Sci-Fi had a choice, and they canceled Caprica, my favorite show.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed when I heard, especially because we started to get into this season. It started off a little slow, and then we can kind of see where they were building up. And supposedly from what I read, I guess there's going to be one more episode this week, or I'm sorry, this next week coming up. So it'd be November 2nd, I believe.
Okay.
And then they're going to stop until the beginning of next year when they're going to release five more episodes, the last five that they're ever going to release.
Wow.
Something go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. No. This has to be some sort of record because you've pretty much got like a 13-15 episode arc, and it looks like it's going to be aired within, you know, 19 months.
Well, you know what? Something tells me that they're actually probably not going to air the last five episodes. I just have a bad feeling that that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what they're going to do is that they're going to put it on the DVD as bonus episodes and jack up the price at Best Buy.
So is that what the deal is then? So this is still considered the first season of Caprica?
It's still the first season of Caprica. Yes, it is. So basically what happened is back in, early this year in the spring, Caprica, you know, was shot through, and it happened with the other Battlestar Galactica series as well. They would have a batch of episodes in the fall, and then they would go ahead and air the remainder. They would start them in the spring and then air the remainder in the fall. So I believe that that's where Caprica was going. But, you know, I really enjoyed Caprica because of my connection with Battlestar Galactica. In fact, I got the original Battlestar Galactica right now net streaming on Netflix, which I think is pretty cool. I recommend everybody to go see it. It's very, very good. But, you know, talking about Caprica, it was a great show. Yes, I agree. It was a little slow paced, but it was telling a story. You know, everybody announced it as a soap opera, and that's exactly what it was. I know that they got a little bit too deep into the religion, and it wasn't until the last three episodes that it really started moving. And, you know, lo and behold, when it really starts to move, then it gets axed.
You know, I think looking back now and not realizing that this was still part of the first season, I think I might change my mind now on how slow the first episodes were for this, you know, this new batch that just came out a few weeks ago. I think they were still slow, but in the context of how it would play out over a season, they almost make sense to me now, because they didn't really make sense to me at first how slow they were and how much of the background story they were going into. Now realizing that it's still part of the first season, that changes my opinion a little bit. I didn't realize that up until now.
And what's crazy too is that, you know, especially for a show like Caprica, it's 50 years before the original Cylon attack. So that means that within these 50 years, the first Cylon war has to happen. Then the Cylons are going to disappear, and then it's going to be, you know, a number of years or a number of decades, I believe, till they come back and then they attack again. So this show had to fill in a lot of the gaps. So I can understand why it was going so slow, because they were talking about the religion and the colonies. It was able to touch upon some things that really struck a chord with Battlestar Galactica fans, where, you know, for instance, we now know that at least for this life of the Cylons and the humans, because remember, you know, one of the other taglines is what has happened before has happened again. So for this generation of a cycle, you know, Zoe Greystone is actually your very first Cylon. And the last three episodes, they were just dropping so many Battlestar Galactica hints, you know, like taking people out of V-World, you know, actually making them human. And if they would die, that they would be reborn again. And they even started talking about making, you know, a number of models, which is exactly what happened in the Battlestar Galactica universe.
I'll be the first to admit that I actually have not watched all of Battlestar. I like you, have been catching up on Netflix because they just released the streaming part of it. So I've only been in the first five or six episodes of the first season of Battlestar, which I know I just probably lost a whole bunch of geek cred right there. But it's interesting to see how the two are. I can kind of see how the two fit together, and I'm sure I'm going to see more of it as I keep watching the seasons. But it's kind of... I think it's a good thing too. It goes back to, I was having a conversation with somebody, I can't remember who I was talking about. Imagine watching episodes, Star Wars episodes 1, 2, and 3 before you ever saw 4, 5, and 6. Instead of seeing it the way most of us did. We saw 4, 5, and 6 first, and then 1, 2, and 3 came out. And that's kind of how I looked at it. They had already made Battlestar. I had never seen it, but I actually started watching Caprica, and I was really into Caprica, which made me want to go ahead and watch Battlestar later on and actually get into that and finish it out, which, you know, I hope to do.
And that's pretty cool, and I'm hoping that's what some of the creators of Caprica were trying to do, is get people to go back out and, you know, check out the Battlestar Galactica universe, because it seems to me that the universe is about to expand. I mean, the original Battlestar Galactica was a show of the 70s, and it wasn't until, you know, the last decade that all of a sudden Battlestar Galactica came through after many, many, many attempts to bring it back either to the small screen or to the big screen.
Right. So on the Battlestar Galactica logo, towards the bottom, it says BSG-75. Is that homage to the original series?
You know what? I've not seen that, but I'm going to guess that it is, because, yeah, if it was the 70s and now we're in 2010, I think that's pretty close to I think 75 would have been when Battlestar Galactica first aired. It might have. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you look at the opening credits and when they actually start scrolling, you know, the actual beginning of it, and at the very end of it, they show the logo for the show. Uh-huh. And underneath it, kind of in small print, it says BSG-75. And I didn't know what it meant, and I was assuming it was a homage to the original show.
I think it would be. I think that's pretty cool that they would do that. So I guess for you fans out there, you know, moving forward ahead, some of the things that we discovered, obviously they started talking about the Cylon models. We know that Zoe actually was the first Cylon model in Battlestar Galactica. You know, you do hear about Joseph Adama, or the senior Adama. I think that's Joseph Adama.
Yeah,
you hear about him, but he's got a huge reputation as a civil rights attorney, I believe, in the Battlestar Galactica universe. So I really wanted to see where he went from, essentially, you know, from good to playing a little bit of an evil character now to eventually back to good. We're not going to get to see that now. You know, Eric Stolt, you know, the original Marty McFly who got fired from Back to the Future.
That's funny. I was going to bring that up a little bit later, but yeah.
his assistant, you know, the Asian dude, I don't know his name, he actually came up with the term boxed, which is a huge term in the Battlestar Galactica series. So it was cool to see that. And it was also cool when Eric Stolt said, man, these things look like toasters. Because as you know, in the Battlestar Galactica universe, you know, what the soldiers call the Cylons are toasters. Mm. So all those things starting to, you know, pile out, I thought was awesome. And I thought they were going to start closing in on the gap, kind of thinking, hey, just in case we get canceled, let's try to shrink it. Well, they're not going to shrink it. But I guess the good news is for all, you know, science fiction fans out there is that a new Battlestar Galactica series, you know, has been announced, and it's going to be, you know, during the Cylon War, and that one's going to be called Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome.
So that's the one that's supposed to be supposedly 10 years after Caprica, but in the right in the middle of the Cylon War, right?
Correct. So that is going to be a young Adama now, who's a kid in this series. So we're actually going to get to see him, you know, as a fighter. So that's going to be pretty cool. And I believe they're going to base it on another character that they are going to introduce to the Battlestar Galactica universe. So, you know, that's pretty awesome.
So what I was looking a lot really forward to was seeing the evolution of Adama's character, because in Caprica, I only know Adama as a little kid. You know, he's mm-hmm. what, 14 or something like that in the show. And, you know, he wants to be more like his gangster uncle, as opposed to he really isn't getting along with his dad. And I remember Adama from the original Battlestar. So I know he becomes I thought it was Admiral Adama, but I guess it ended up being just Commander Adama or whatever. So I was interested to see how that all went down, seeing him transform from this kid who was kind of maybe walking down the wrong path and going down the path of being more of a gangster to, you know, later on becoming this commander and in charge of the entire fleet and saving, you know, humanity. I was really looking forward to that part. So then when I heard about this new show that was coming up and it was going to be revolved around him, I thought that was kind of cool. But it makes you wonder, since they just canceled Caprica, how much of a chance does this new show really have?
Yeah, you know, I was really worried about that as well. And, you know, what I'm hoping is that maybe in the backgrounds of sci-fi, you know, they told the Battlestar Galactica, you know, creators, like, hey, we're going to axe, you know, Caprica, but we're going to give you another shot at a prequel. Now, one of the other things that's really weird about all of this, Carlos, is that Battlestar Galactica, the original universe, you know, the show from the 70s, that's been greenlit for the big screen. That movie's coming out next year. That's going to be directed by Bryan Singer, you know, Superman and X-Men guy.
So what time frame is that supposed to be take place?
That's going to be the 1978 TV series time frame. So they're going to use that. That's a different timeline. So it's almost, think of it as the new Star Trek.
So it's like a reboot, kind of, well, like an old reboot.
It's exactly. It's going to be a reboot of the original. Now, the original is going to be pretty unique, because in the original, Baltar is, you know, I guess the president of the Cylons, you know, and the leader of the Cylons is actually some reptilian. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see.
So they're going to go back to the original story and, you know, Starbuck being a man instead of a woman and all that.
Starbuck's going to be a man. Boomer's going to be an African-American instead of an Asian chick.
Oh, I didn't catch that part about Boomer. That's funny. Now that you mentioned, now that I know who Boomer is, I never even caught that.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty crazy. They, you know, maybe they're going to go with the storyline that Apollo actually had a wife and Apollo's wife actually was killed. Maybe they're going to reintroduce the little boy, you know, Boxy, that they never showed in the original Battlestar. I think he was briefly mentioned in the new miniseries, you know, for the reboot. Right. So we might see those pieces, you know, maybe we might get to see, you know, what they actually talked in the Battlestar Galactica universe this time around. But we never saw is that in the original Battlestar Galactica, in the pilot episode, we actually did meet Zach, which was, you know, the son of Adama.
Right, right, right.
And Adama Jr. and Zach died in battle, you know, which is the reason that both Adamas in the new series have a strained relationship, is because of the dead son.
Right.
So hopefully we're going to get to see all of that. I'm a big fan of Battlestar Galactica. I was a fan of Battlestar Galactica before. I was a fan of Star Wars because Battlestar Galactica was on television. I didn't get to the movies till my parents let me. So a lot of interesting things going on in the BSG universe. Do you think they're trying to make a run at Star Wars?
Oh, I don't know. I think they're trying to milk a franchise because it's got this cult following now, I think. And they'll never get to the level of Star Wars or anything. But, you know, I think they'll have enough to keep this going for a while and do a bunch of different things. Because the other thing that I heard, being a big gamer, is they're coming out with a Battlestar Galactica MMO, which is a multiplayer game, kind of like World of Warcraft. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So you can, you know, get suited up as one of these players, and I don't know if, you know, you can be a Cylon or part of the Federation or whatever they're called. Yeah, but that's supposed to be coming out in the next, you know, couple, I think year or two that's been announced. So that ought to be kind of interesting.
That sounds pretty cool.
And maybe that's what they're going to end up doing. Maybe they're corresponding whenever this movie's going to be released to the game being released and, you know, kind of take it from there. Especially because in the that type of space, the MMO world, there isn't a whole lot of space kind of base games. There's only a couple. There's a Star Wars one that kind of sucks now. It's been sucking for like the last 4 or 5 years, but there's really not a big big space one. There's like one or two, but you know, nothing of that caliber. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool. That sounds pretty cool. You know, back to Blood and Chrome, about the new Battlestar Galactica spinoff. It's going to be pretty cool. You know, we're going to see, you know, Commander Adama. He's actually going to be, you know, fighter pilot Husker, which if you go to Sci-Fi and check out the episodes, you know, that was his call sign Husker. And he got to see some pretty cool things, you know, when he was at war.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the couple episodes of the original or of Battlestar that I saw on Netflix, they start telling some stories about him back when he was a pilot and actually doing his thing. Is, you know, Starbuck mentions a story. She was telling a story to Adama's son. Yep. And that was kind of interesting because then, you know, he was a little bit embarrassed by it and really didn't kind of want his son to know the story. But it made me think that there was going to be something else that they keep flashing back to some of the past and what happened in the past. So. But the other part that I found really interesting about watching Battlestar 2 is, as I'm thinking through it and realizing, you know, the Cylons and how they came to be, and, you know, I'm watching the beginning of it, and essentially Adama's son and, oh, I'm sorry, Adama's sister and his dad is kind of, you know, his sister, and now I haven't seen Battlestar, but she's stuck in this virtual world right now. I'm assuming she's going to become a Cylon at some point, which I have no idea, and I don't want you to spoil it for me, but, you know, she was in there just like Zoe Greystone is, you know?
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. And yeah, you know, that's the one thing that sucks with these episodes. You know, I hope that they have more answers for us. You know, I'm hoping that the reason that they're going to show them in 2011 is maybe that they're going to slide into the new Battlestar Galactica series. You know, that's one of the things that I'm hoping as well. Here's another one too. I believe it was Zoe Greystone, or it was one of the characters in Caprica. Man, I can't believe that I can't remember who it is. But they started seeing the imaginary person. So I got really pumped up for that, because all through the Battlestar Galactica series, Baltar always saw an imaginary, you know, number 6. So I thought that they were finally going to explain what that was. I thought it was they were actually going to say, hey, it's a piece of technology, because they never really explained that to us. You know, in Battlestar Galactica, we just went ahead and assumed that it was some sort of, you know, angel or devil that, right, you know, can talk to, you know, Baltar. So it started happening in Caprica too.
That was Zoe Greystone. She started seeing a copy of herself, and that was the one kind of convincing her that you're not the same, necessarily the same person of who the live person, that you have a chance to change yourself.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So in all of Battlestar Galactica, Baltar sees, you know, number 6 in that same manner. So I was hoping that they were going to say, like, hey, you know, Thomas Virgis invented this or something crazy.
So remind me, in Battlestar then, Baltar is the professor guy, right?
Baltar is a genius in the original Battlestar series. And basically that person who's talking to him, number 6, convinces him to give up the plans, you know, which eventually, you know, the secrets, which will eventually lead to the Cylons, you know, attacking, blowing up the humans. So, you know, Baltar kind of is like a bad guy, you know, in the Battlestar Galactica universe. He, you know, because he's listening to number 6 and he's giving her information. And at one point, you know, he's even living aboard, you know, the Cylon ship.
Right.
Because he's just a very, very confused, you know, man. You know, he becomes president. You know, of
hey man, you need to quit spoiling it, dude, because I haven't seen all this yet.
Oh,
but I couldn't remember who Baltar was, and I just, for whatever reason, didn't remember that professor or doctor, whatever his name is, the name.
Okay, just you know, I'll mind erase you later with my Men in Black mind erase pen. Yeah.
I'll mind erase you with a few blue moons. Yeah,
I heard that may be powerful than the Men in Black pen.
Hey, it's definitely been powerful in my life. Anyways, I didn't realize that was Baltar and who you're talking about. So in the original Battlestar, then Baltar was the leader of the Cylons?
Yep. Huh. He was he led the Cylons, but Baltar had a boss, and that his boss was a reptilian.
Right.
Who I believe was, you know, really calling the shots for the Cylons. That's another thing in the original Caprica series. And I don't know have you seen all the Caprica series?
Except the one that just came on this past week. I haven't watched that one.
All right. Well, I'm going to spoil it a little bit for you. So Adama's brother, you know, gets hardcore and he goes and attacks some people and he brings a Cylon robot with him. And the robot just causes all sorts of havoc. But the coolest thing was is that they never showed in the Battlestar Galactica series, as far as I can remember, is that they showed it was the original Cylon voice from the 70s. And it was like, mission complete. And was awesome.
Huh.
Yeah. It was awesome.
I have to catch up with that episode, considering it's going to be one of the last that we're going to see. So
yeah, that was pretty cool. And also, that was another hint. When Adama's brother went in there attacking with that Cylon, you know, you were like, wait a minute. You know, this is actually what the Cylons are going to start doing to people. They're just going to start terrorizing us. So, you know, that was also a thing, you know. A story that I wanted to know was the mob, you know, pretty much responsible for, you know, all of a sudden, you know, selling off Cylons to people? And how did the Cylons, you know, get smart and turn on the humans? Well, you know what? That turn could have came from V-World. It could have been Zoe Greystone or... what if it was Adama's daughter?
You know, and I think
that would be kind of crazy.
Looking back on it now, I think what we would have probably have seen it was probably Adama's daughter. I think it would have been a combination of Adama's daughter and I was going to call him Fifth Column, but the one god, the terrorist group that's in there. What are they called again?
STO.
STO. Yeah, I would say it would probably be a combination of Adama's daughter and the STO.
So say we all.
So, that's what we're going to call this episode. So say we all. Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed. And, you know, anytime these networks cancel a show, they did it to Sarah Connor, they did it to Heroes, and it leaves you hanging, and you wish they would at least finished it off. And, you know, the same thing happened with one of the Law and Orders. And, I mean, I can't stand when they do it because it just makes me not want to watch shows anymore just so I'm not into them, and all of a sudden they're just gone and didn't really finish everything that they should have.
Yeah, I mean, it leaves me with a heavy heart, and my heart would have been heavier, but the San Francisco Giants are in the World Series, so I'm a little bit okay with that.
So let's move on to Back to the Future. We got to at least pay a little bit of homage to Back to the Future. 25 years. I can't believe it's actually been that long because it reminds me of how old I really am getting. But probably one of my favorite movies of all time. I say lines from that movie all the time still. The 1.21 gigawatts is something... anytime I get to say that in some context, I do it. But yeah, I was really happy to see they were celebrating 25 years. They had brought the cast together on the Today Show, which I still have to catch up on. But tell me what your favorite moment from Back to the Future was.
Oh, man, my favorite moment? Man, let's see. Wow, there's just so many of them. I liked it when... he first met Christopher Lloyd, and Christopher Lloyd just looks like a total lunatic because he was one of my favorite characters from Taxi. And when he proves to him, you know, with that sketch that, hey, you know, like I am from the future.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought one of my favorite moments was when all of a sudden I thought that Marty McFly was in trouble and that all hell was going to break loose. And then all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, he's got a freaking time machine. You know, can go back and fix things. So I thought that was really amazing. Marty McFly was a pretty cool character. I think I requested my father to go and buy me a jean jacket right after that. Of course, I had a crush on his girlfriend. She was pretty cool. And
his girlfriend or his mom?
Both. Leia Thompson was pretty cool too. But hey, man, you know, my tip of the cap to Robert Zemeckis. He was an awesome, or still is, director. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Did you ever get into the other Back to the Future movies?
I liked, obviously the first one was the best ones. I saw them all. I didn't really care about number 3. Number 2 was cool. you know, still had that little battle with Biff, but man, you know, the original, to me, in my the age that I was, you know, I finally started to appreciate movies for what they were. And you know, as a kid, I thought the marketing was awesome. You know, at the end of the first one, it was, you know, to be continued, so you knew the sequel was coming.
Yeah.
But you know, I liked the characters. The second one, I liked the future aspects of it. You know, the home, the computer pieces, the technology. Some of that now actually exists. Well, and you know, the third one,
the interesting part is that was supposed to be 2015, which is, you know, right around the corner now. Where's my flying car at?
Yeah, yeah, that was the only thing. Yeah, that can be fueled by garbage. So, or how about the DeLorean? I mean, just the DeLorean itself. If you look at a DeLorean today, it still looks like a modern vehicle. It does not look old at all.
Yeah, but you know, it's anytime you see a DeLorean now, anyone who remembers the original movie just has to think back to Back to the Future and remember, you know, what part it played in that movie. But yep. I actually enjoyed number three. I know a lot of people didn't like number three. I actually enjoyed it. I don't know why. I did. I dug that one. Not better than the first one, of course. But the other thing about number two, it was kind of cool how they jumped back to 1955 and, you know, two things were happening at once. And he was kind of watching himself through the whole thing. And I thought that was kind of cool because it started making you think about, man, this is crazy, you know, all this time travel stuff. So. But I think they did a pretty good job of kind of meshing it all together.
Yeah, yeah. So how about this? They are, for you know, as homage to the 25th, they're actually going to screen Back to the Future again in the theater. I'm going.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
AMC is going to screen it. So for you fans out there that are wondering, oh, my God, Bobby Rogue just dropped a big one. I didn't know about this. Go to Fandango.com and just go ahead and look up their freshly popped movie. Go to Movie Buzz, which is called Freshly Popped, and it will tell you that they will be airing it. And I believe, man, I can't really remember anymore, but I know AMC for sure is going to screen it on 158 screens across 40 cities.
I have to check that out. I'd be willing to go and pay to watch that again.
Yeah, and it may have happened, and it may have not happened already. Yeah, and if it did happen, just time travel back, you know, go ahead and watch the movie, make a flux capacitor, drive 55 miles an hour by some church, and make sure there's a lightning, and you can go back and watch it.
Yeah, I have to check it out. I'd be interested to see that. All right, everybody, if you'd like to learn more about The Lowdown, you can visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. Bobby, again, it's been a pleasure as always. Do you have anything to say to everybody out there before we sign off?
Me llamo Bobby Rogue y los gigantes van a ser pastos a esos imbéciles de Texas.
And if you don't understand Spanish, he said the Giants suck and they're going to lose the World Series. Okay, bye.
Au revoir.
Lowdown Radio Production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.